This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now, a guy played for the Timberwolves. His son plays in the league with Portland Blazers. He also coached in the league. Gary Trent, thank you for joining us.
How you doing, man? I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, what? Portland came to town last week. You got a chance to see Junior. How's he doing?
Good for him to get a chance to come home. And, you know, see his brothers and, you know, a good chance for them to see him play and just be inspirational. And, you know, he was able to come home and, you know, see some of the kids off the team that we coach and affiliate with. So, you know, it's good for him to, his presence to be around those younger children who have dreams.
What's the hardest part of the league for him when you adjust to it that you have to go through when you go into the NBA?
Well, you know, it depends on where you come in at. You know what I'm saying? But, yep. You know, the number one pick has a lot of different responsibilities and pressures than the number 25 pick or yep. second round pick. But the biggest adjustment as far as on the court will be the speed of the game. You know, the game is moving fast. You got 24 seconds, so the speed of the game. And then the physicality of the game is at an all-time high. You know, the biggest gap most of these kids have experienced would be freshman, senior, or you're a college freshman against a fifth-year senior. That's a 4 or 5 year gap. Well, when I came into the league, I was 21 years old. I was a rookie. Buck Williams was in his 15th year. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a grown man, but also they're in different stages of your life. When I was 21, the things that I thought was important and felt was important and wanted to do and wanted to accomplish, well, at 36, Buck Williams already had a family, children, yeah. and looking at different ventures. So, you know, the mental adjustment, the lifestyle adjustment, also the length of the athlete. You know, in high school, you might face 1 7-footer. In college, you might face a couple throughout your season, depending on what conference you're in. But when you get to the NBA, you might see a 7-footer, 6'10 guys every night, you know? So the length of the athlete changes and the skill set changes. You know, in college, you know, you might face a 6'10 guy. He's not a stretch four. He can't really shoot. You get to the NBA, you got Derek Coleman who can play the post, who can shoot the three, who can handle it at 6'10. So, you know, it's just a whole wide eye-awakening experience for you.
Okay, so the Wolves make this trade. They get rid of Teague finally and Graham for this journeyman from Atlanta. What does that tell you about where the Wolves are at right now?
Well, you know, sometimes it's not always about talent. It's not always about the record. You know, a lot of times teams are doing things from a salary cap standpoint. You know, if they take a guy who's in the last year of his contract, he might be making $15, $20 million. Well, they take that guy, get what they get out of him, but when his contract expires, that opens up salary cap room for them to go out and pay a nice second tier player or a guy to complement your big three or something of that nature.
But the thing of it is, even if you open up salary cap space, they still have to want to come here and play. How do you create a culture so people that are at that level that you can afford want to come here?
Well, you know, once you start developing that winning culture, that winning spirit, then, you know, that's an attraction. But at the end of the day, man, it could be Utah, which, you know, a city that people considering boring. And there's a lot of talk around the league that, you know, Minnesota's a slow city. You know, as far as if you have a shoe deal, it's not an A-level market to where your contract is different, you know, because there's A, B, and C markets. You know, if you were in a, you know, I had a contract where when I was in Portland, my shoe deal was if I got traded to New York or L.A. or Chicago, a bigger market than Portland, that upped my shoe deal worth.
I didn't realize that because it's cost per impression, and if you're playing in front of more fans every night,
yes.
In terms of your cable contract, then exactly. You got more impressions.
So people are looking at, like, if I'm with Nike and I'm in Utah, my deal might be worth $200,000, but if I get traded to L.A., now my deal is worth $400,000 because they know I'm a Laker, I'm visible, I'm in L.A., I'm in a bigger market. So those are some of the factors that hold people back from wanting to come here, the cold, the money, the market and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I promise you this, if a team puts $2 on the table and Minnesota put $3 on the table, he'll be in Minnesota, especially a young player. Now, an older veteran who's already made a lot of money and trying to play for a championship, you know, the difference between $2 and $3 or $2 and $4 is not important to him. You know, but a young guy where he can go get $4 million in Minnesota or $2 million in this place, he's going, if he's smart, he's going to take the $4 million. I don't care where it's at.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, what would you do if you're the Wolves the rest of the season? You try to get Towns back? Try to do what? Because you basically, your season's lost right now in terms of playoff hopes.
Well, what I would start doing is taking our cornerstone guys. You know, I would look at Wiggs, I would look at Carl, and I would see what do we need to build around those guys and what type of salary cap room do we have to play with to where we can finally put something together. You know, because they were making some progress. You know, they missed the playoffs for 10, 15 years. You know, Thibodeau came in, created a good buzz, got them back in there, and now they're right back to the drawing board. So, you know, I think Ryan is a good fit and whatnot, but I don't care who you are. You know, people want to say Ryan's not old enough or he can't come in the guys. Well, you know what? When Phil Jackson didn't have Michael Jordan, hey, you didn't see none of them Zen Master tricks. You didn't see him in the finals. You didn't see none of that. They was out of there the second round every year. So is it more talent or is it more coaching? You know what I'm saying? I think if you give Ryan LeBron or Michael Jordan and Pippen, he'll look like a Zen Master to a point as well. You know, I'm not taking anything away from Phil, but I'm just saying a lot of people have negative things to say about Ryan or he got the job because his dad was here. No, Ryan paid his dues, man. He'd been in the league. He was with the Wizards. You know, he's been around. He started out as a film guy, kind of like Spoelstra and whatnot. So he knows what he's doing, but I don't care what your level of coaching is. If you don't have any talent, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so if you're not playing up to potential, what are those conversations like that Ryan has to have with these guys one-on-one if he needs to get more out of them? And what's that like from a player's standpoint when a coach calls you in? What is he looking for from that coach when that coach has got to be tough on him?
Well, he's just looking for accountability. You know, when I sit down with a player and I watch film, I'm going to show you the things that you do good, but I'm going to show you the things that you need to do better. And if you can put your ego aside and you really want to get better as a player, you will take that positive criticism and not take it negatively like the coach is coming down here. We grown men at this stage. You're making millions, man. If you feel like you're too sensitive for a coach to say, hey, we need you to block out better, we need you to rebound better, then you soft. And I can't coach soft, mentally weak, fragile guys. I don't even want to play with them.
And so if you have that, you've got a problem.
Yeah, if you got a problem, that's why you got to get rid of him. If you can't sit down with a guy who's your starting center, he making $20-30 million, you say, listen, you're averaging 7 rebounds. The average center, the average starting center is averaging 11. Or every guy that's making $20 million at your position is averaging this. You're making the money of a $25 million, but you're giving me the performance of a $10 million guy. Hey, if he can't accept that, then he's not being real. He's not going to be successful anyway because he's not trying to be great. You can't talk to a guy about improving or being better or being more hungry if it's not in his spirit or in his mindset. It is not going to happen.
All right, so Jerry, just looking ahead, you assume you got Towns and Wiggins, and Covington looks like he can play in the NBA, and Jarrett Culver's coming on a little bit. Nas Reed's giving him some flashes. Okay, where would you begin with this team to try to redo it? Because if those pieces, you assume those five guys are probably going to be here for the foreseeable future, what else would you try to do, and how would you try to make this place attractive?
You have to get a veteran point guard, you know, to stir that drink, a veteran who can command Wig to do this, know where to get the ball, instruct younger guys and things of that nature. And you also need maybe a guy on the wing who is a dedicated Ron Artest mentality. Like, because you got hitters in the West. You got Harden in the West. You know, you got LeBron in the West. You got Dame in the West averaging 20-30. You got Steph will be back. You got Clay will be back. So you need a perimeter guy who feels like every night your assignment is like a Ron, you guard Harden tonight. You're going to guard Kobe tonight. You're going to guard Jordan tonight. You need a guy who guards the other team's leading perimeter scorer, and that has to be his responsibility, and he has to accept that challenge. Now, you know, when the guy is averaging 25, it's hard to guard James Harden. He's shooting 30 shots, man. He shoots 37 shots to get 40 points. You know, you did your job. If you can keep a guy a couple points below his average, or if you make him shoot a horrible percentage, 13-37, and you score 40 on me, hey, I think I did my job if it took you 37 shots to get 40.
Yep. Yep. I hear, hey, good stuff as always, Gary. We'll do it again soon. Thank you so much for giving us some time, and stay warm.
I appreciate it, man.
You bet. Gary Trent, nice enough to join us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.